We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. Oh, let me sing a little bit. Private side. Oh, you got to be vibrant, honey. Oh, let me tell you something. If you're feeling down, you're not sure which way to go, you're still thinking about that insurrection that happened on January 6th, we're going to have open phones for you at 7:33. You don't want to miss out on this, because the bottom line is to hear where you are, what you are thinking, what you are feeling since President Biden became President Biden, right? The inauguration. We have a lot to talk about tonight. So if you want to join us, that is the half an hour we have designated just for you. We are here for you. We're not here for any other reason. So please know that you are welcome to call in. And as you know, here on WCCO, all voices are welcomed here as long as we have respect for one another. That's the key, respect for one another. I promise that I will respect you. And so far, I know you will respect me. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Coming up at 7:20 will be our first guest, Gabrielle Claudus. And Gabrielle is the co-founder and CEO of a nonprofit called Settled. And it's all about finding a way, a better way for the unsettled homeless community. In other words, giving them a place to be, giving them a place to live, giving them home. We're going to talk to her about that. And then, of course, at 7:33, again, the open phones are just for you. At 651-989-9226. Again, that's 651-989-9226. If you want to send a text to that line, you can do so as well. Our producer tonight, Jonathan Lowe and Jimmy Erickson. Of course, Jonathan Lowe can make sure that he makes that happen. I know for some of the other shows in the morning during the week, you have to send in a text, but you are welcome to call in here on Steel Talking. At 8:10, we're going to talk to Dr. Charles Crutchfield, a Black dermatologist, as well as a university professor. He is very well known in all communities here in the Twin Cities and beyond. And we're going to talk a little bit about this vaccination and how come there are so many Black people or even people of color who do not want to take it. Absolutely do not want to take it. So the big question is, I wonder if he's taken it. And I wonder why he is on this road to really convince African-Americans, Black people, to take this vaccination. And there are real reasons. He knows it, I know it, and many of you know it. So we're going to talk about that. And then at 8:35, Chris Yule is going to join us. There's a segment we do called So What Do You Do? Right? And my nephew, Cortland Jackson, actually wrote a little ditty for it, and I love it. And it's a time when we get a chance to maybe come in contact with a van or a poster or an ad that doesn't quite make sense. It's like, well, why did they call it that? And what do they do? And so it's called So What Do You Do? That's our segment tonight. You don't want to miss this one. And then at 9 o'clock, that's when we start all things arts and entertainment. We call it Center Stage. The entire hour is about what is happening in the music industry, the arts industry, period, here in the great state of Minnesota. Many people used to think, oh, gosh, you know, the singers, the artists that are creating all of these incredible portraits and sculptures and dancers and comedians, and we could go on and on. Many thought, oh, it's dying. It's going to be dead by the time this pandemic is over. But we are strong here in Minnesota, and it is not over. We have found ways and corners because of you. You've supported us. You've done the tip jars. You've done all of it. And so because of your love coming at us, honey, we're going to send love right back at you. And there's a lot to talk about. Annie Mac is going to start that hour off. And then my favorite hour, of course, is the Mom and Michael hour in the 10 o'clock hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. And it is my favorite indeed. My favorite indeed. Okay, so that's our night tonight. I got to catch up with my producers because they mean a lot to me. They're like family. So, Jonathan, what's happening with you, dude?
I actually want to jump in first because I stayed late to say hi to you.
Oh, my gosh. Susie, you just made my night. Oh, I miss you.
I miss you. Are you kidding me? Holy smokes.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we're all just getting by. I work at home, just so folks know, Monday through Thursday. I have a computer at home, a microphone at home, just like you.
Yeah,
you're at
yeah.
home. All the show hosts are at home. And mm-hmm. we can do our job at home for the most part. So, for example, if there's a press conference somewhere, 90% of the time it's streamed. It's on Zoom or one other of those sites. And okay. so we get all of our sound via Zoom. And then because we're radio and we work in sound, we don't always have to be at something. But again, if it's a big enough story, then I'll drive to where it is. But yeah, it's been an interesting, what are we coming on? You know, March 6th was our first case in Minnesota.
Right. Can you believe it's almost a year?
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Incredible. And so when you say what constitutes an important story?
Something that's active. So, for example, if there is a crime scene that is active, you know, if they need help. I mean, you can always do something over the phone, but there's something more immediate. Like, that's a good example because I usually, if there's a situation in St. Paul, I'll call the police spokesperson and I'll talk to them over the phone and they'll give me the facts, right?
Okay.
And I'll get the facts. What happened? When did people call? What did they find mm-hmm. when they got here? So last week I decided on my own to drive to the site of the crime, park my vehicle. And when I got out, I had a different view than just a phone call because I could
right.
say, I see, I'm standing here in front of this North and Payne, and I see yellow tape. I see detectives looking through the snow, looking for shell casings. I see, do you know what I mean? So your visual intake can help you to tell a different and more perhaps enriching story. At least
right.
more detail than just sort of the facts, A, B, C, D, F, E, F, right?
You know, we have so many cameras all over the Twin Cities and, you know, all over the state, even the suburbs. And I'm wondering, do you ever turn to the cameras that are in those communities or where you can really spot it until you can get there?
You know, it's interesting because I've actually never done that. I've never gone to a store and asked to see the surveillance tape. I know that police do, obviously, as mm-hmm. they investigate different things, but I would imagine, I mean, I don't know what the rules are, Geraldine, to be honest with you. Like, if you're a private gas station owner and I walk in as a news reporter and say, can I see the tape, would they or would they, you know, I don't know.
On Colombo they do.
I know it, right? I mean,
see, that's the thing. That's what the police officers tell me, too. It's like, don't expect to see what you see on television when it comes to the way we do things in real life.
No.
And it's just, you know, really, that's the truth, isn't it?
It is. And it's not glamorous. You know, I always think, oh, I'd love to be a detective. But so much of it is just minutiae. I mean, it's getting in there and turning over every little thing. And it might be like, oh, this is so boring. But at the end, you might turn over just the right thing you need to solve a case.
Okay, final question.
Okay.
We get a chance to see the police officers. Many of them go through their, you know, PTSD and mm-hmm. so much more. What about you as a reporter? Is it difficult for you to keep going out to see the dead bodies or to see the pain of the families? How has that weighed on your heart and spirit?
That's a great question. And I would say, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, since 1987.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were just 10. How about that?
In La Crosse, Wisconsin. But the point is that there are stories that do get in, but mm-hmm. most of the time I do just distance myself from the emotion of the story where I just focus on those facts and just see things from an objective standpoint. But then other times when I kind of least expect it, it will catch me off guard and I'll become emotional. And I can probably count at least, I think one time, Geraldine, I'll just tell you, this was so awful. This grandma was babysitting her two granddaughters because her mom was a nurse and worked overnights and she was a single mom. And there was a fire in the mobile home. And the grandma had both the girls in her hands to get out of there. And the little one slipped her hand away and went back in to get like a teddy bear or something or a doll. And she died in the fire. Mm-hmm. And the grandma kept saying, I had her hand. I had her hand. And that got me. You know what I mean? Because you just look like, oh, that one you could feel. But you know what I'm saying? That there are times where even the most professional get affected. It's just hard not to.
Well, a whole lot of people are praying for you and others that are out there trying to make sure that we get the story. Yep. So thank you for what you do, first of all.
And
second of all, I miss you, woman. I really miss you. So this is like a gift. You just gave me like a huge gift certificate. So now I got to go out and, you know, kind of spread that love to other people I haven't seen in a long time or they haven't seen me and be able to say, here I am. I'm going to do that in your honor. So thank you, Susie.
Spread the love.
Spread the love. Take care of you,
honey. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break and then come back with Gabrielle Claudus in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It is now 7:22 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele, and I tell you, this few minutes that we have with this Gabrielle Claudus, is really important for us to hear this message. A great public-private partnership has begun, and it's cloaked in faith, and it's helping to end the homelessness epidemic one tiny house at a time. Now joining me is Gabrielle Claudus, who is the co-founder and CEO of a nonprofit called Settled. Welcome, Gabrielle. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what was the catalyst for Settled?
Well, I'm a research fellow at the University of Minnesota, studying housing and homelessness, and I was hired by the University of Minnesota and by Hennepin Health to look at homelessness in the Twin Cities. And so it really just began as a research project.
So as a research project, a lot of times it does pique the interest of one person and then it just seems to go out around the world. I mean, do you feel as though this inspired you so much that it led you to Settled, which is now, I mean, it's in the news, people are talking about it. Did you expect it to take off this fast or do you feel like it took too long?
Oh, boy. Well, we're 4.5 years in the making. I have two more kids in my family since then, so it feels like it's taken a little bit of time. But, you know, there's just been so much work kind of underground, just underground momentum of just really understanding the problem, understanding the systems that exist, how each kind of entity is currently operating and what they do best, and then really trying to figure out how can we work together for a really holistic solution to homelessness?
Exactly. And so getting to that point where you ask that question, many people will look and say, hey, we've been asking all the questions. What difference is there in this question? What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a society, we take a housing first approach. We basically say, gosh, people are homeless and they just need housing. And if we had more housing, they wouldn't be homeless. Now, that's true for about 80% of the homeless population that kind of dip into homelessness and really do just need like a hand up. But for our chronically homeless brothers and sisters out there, the ones that have been homeless for more than a year, oftentimes 5, 10, 20 years, it's really not housing or just housing that they lack. They really have experienced the profound and catastrophic loss of family, and that's led them to experience the profound and catastrophic loss of community. These are the folks that are on the outskirts of society, and more than anything, yes, they absolutely need housing, but they need home and all the things that come along with home. So our approach to this is really a holistic one, where they're invited into an intentional community where they can belong, they can grow roots, they can become settled, and we can wrap around them and kind of augment that role of family, and they can then have a meaningful role in society.
You know, other states have really turned to the government, the state government, to try to figure out this huge problem of the unsettled homeless. And so here we are looking at a new way to do it. And we have turned here, you have turned to faith communities. Tell me the difference between what the state has been trying to do and what happens when it comes from a faith perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, government is great for what it does. Most of our chronically homeless brothers and sisters are on some sort of government assistance, either for food or a small stipend for cash. But the government can't really give a hug, and the government can't augment that role of family, and the government can't take long amounts of time to just sit and hear people's stories and respond to them in a unique and personal way. And so that's really the difference, is that a community-first model requires time. It requires intentional neighbors that have never experienced homelessness also living in the community to be good neighbors and to invite people into, you know, healthy, happy family traditions and routines and walks and games and meals, because that's how someone really becomes home.
Yeah. Speaking of neighbors, what are you hearing from the neighbors, whether it's where the church is located, where these houses will be located? I'm sure you've gone out and taken some type of survey or asked the questions about how they feel about these tiny homes going on to the property of these churches.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, most neighbors start at the same place that we all start. Hey, gosh, aren't these the predators of our society? Aren't these the sex offenders and the drug addicts and the prostitutes? Do we really want them living in our neighborhoods? And we just have to kind of break it down. There are so many stereotypes around homelessness and who the homeless are and what kind of neighbor they're going to be. And so really what we do is we allow our homeless neighbors to advocate for themselves and put a face and a name and a story to someone, because I really believe that we're more alike than we're different. It's just, you know, their story has been one that's come from a pretty broken place and a broken family background. And so, you know, neighbors do. They start off and say, gosh, what's this going to do to our property values? What's this going to do to the crime in our neighborhood? And we have all the research to show that it doesn't reduce the property values and it doesn't increase crime as long as it's managed well. And it's our intent to come in everywhere that we plant a sacred settlement to be a neighborhood asset, for neighbors to actually say, gosh, you know, our neighborhood is actually better because this is here, because people are living intentionally and they're looking out for one another and they're living communally. And it's just an inspiring opportunity for all of us to learn from that.
I think it is as well, but I have to ask you to step back just for a moment and explain to me what it means for them to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, advocate for themselves means we've been walking alongside people that are in chronic homelessness for a lot of years, and we just invite them to participate in building this community right along with us. And some of the best ways that they can do that is just coming and showing up at every neighborhood outreach and every event. And they're just they're part of our family. And so it's one thing for me to get up there and say, hey, I am a PhD candidate in housing at the University of Minnesota. I'm a research fellow. I'm a CEO of this nonprofit. And that holds a lot of weight. But I'll tell you that it is so much more powerful when one of my buddies off the streets get up and they share their story and they talk about what their life's been like, or they talk about what it's like to be homeless as a woman. And you know what, that really changes the conversation. And we've witnessed that at neighborhood outreaches, where neighbors are very hostile and say, we don't want those people in our neighborhood. And then we invite one of our friends off the streets to come up and share. And all of a sudden, you don't hear those people anymore. You don't hear, because now it's not those people. It's a person with a name and a face and a story, and it humanizes them. And it's you see them playing with my 3-year-old daughter, and now it's not so scary. And so that's really advocating for themselves, is just creating the environment so that they can have a voice in this.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if you have therapists at all, because that's what we really need when it comes to the homeless. Not only do they need a safe place to live, but they also need therapists. They need mental health supporters. There's so much more that they need. Are you offering that as well in those communities?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So when we invite someone off the streets and into a sacred settlement, we want to wrap around them in like the most holistic way. So yes, there's going to be missional neighbors living in the community to be a good neighbor, to have a faithful presence. But we also wrap around each individual with 3 to 5 lay advocate befrienders. These are people that we train up to help people meet their life goals. First and foremost, you know, they're not folks on the streets have had 10, 20 caseworkers in their lifetime. They've met with many helping professionals. So it's not that there's the lack of helping professionals out there. It's just that there's an enormous chasm between, the folks coming off the street and those helping professionals. And so what we want to do is help bridge that by kind of reinforcing a support system in their life. And so this advocate team comes in and just starts by simply building a trusted relationship, a friendship. And we, in our training to folks, we say, gosh, this isn't charity. This is reciprocity. You're entering into a friendship. You're not here to fix someone as if any of us can fix anyone. That's far above any of our pay grades. You're coming in here to just walk alongside them. Sometimes it's just being a witness to the things that they experience and how, you know, complicated and fragmented the system can be. Other times it's advocating for them when they go to the doctors or to, you know, trying to get some sort of assistance that they need. And so that is really key to this, is just like this advocate befriender team that can really walk alongside people and share time with them and just kind of invest and commit to investing in their lives and having that faithful presence.
If people want to volunteer or to give, where do they go?
Our organization has a website called settled.org, and you will find frequently asked questions on there. You'll find kind of articles that inspire us. You'll find the framework for a community first model. You'll find an opportunity to donate or an opportunity to get involved. Just contact us and tell us, your superpower, and there's definitely a place for you at the table. This is really volunteer-led, but it's really deeply committed volunteers, and it's so powerful to see a community built and community-first response to homelessness.
I am grateful for what you are doing, and I do hope that you will get all the support that you need. Gabrielle, please do not give up. I hope that your spirit will stay exactly like it is today, and I look forward to catching up with you again in a few months to see how you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Right. Bless you.
That is Gabrielle, I should say, Claudis. And again, if you want more information, settled.org. That's SETTLED. We'll be back. That's what it's all about, is that we have to be brave as we move forward in life right now, right? Everything seems to be changing. It's like an invisible whirlwind all around our country. And of course, we are nearly 3 weeks away from the insurrection of January 6th. Since then, we have learned a whole lot about the angry mob who got into the Capitol and how they were able to place pipe bombs and guillotines outside the Capitol. I mean, who could ever do that? And are you still worried, nervous, scared about it all happening again? We'd love to hear from you. I have not heard from you since this happened. Either there's been a game on for a long time and we came on for the Mom and Michael hour, and I did not want to talk about that as we were going into sleep time, and so I didn't bring it up. But I am really excited to talk to you about this tonight, to give you the platform to tell me how you are doing. You know that Still Talking is all about you, right? It's what I love to do, is sit here and gab with you, and this is our time to gab until the top of the hour. So if you'd like to join us, give us a call at 651-989-9226, Or if you would like to text us to that number, you could do the same. Jonathan Lowe, do you have another number that they could call, or do we just stick with that one now?
No, it's the same number for the calls and the text line. Same number.
Okay. So I'm going to start with you as people are maybe texting and starting to call in. How are you doing since January 6th?
Personally, I'm fine. It was less of an "Oh my Lord" moment than it was a shaking my head moment. And you say, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, you're thinking, I know how we got here.
I know how we got there. Yeah, exactly. So, we really do know how we got here. Although some people don't want to receive that or accept that, we know this truth to be true. Okay? Stop trying to make it like it didn't happen. Stop trying to make it seem like we don't know who made this happen. We know. We watched it unfold. We saw what led up to it. And I'm not talking about the day of. I'm talking about months before this. How many times have I said, Jonathan, I used to say all the time, you know, we're getting close to a civil war. We really are. And some people have, especially friends or family of mine, they go, you shouldn't say that. It's not going to be a civil war. All I'm saying is that we've gotten very close to it. And I've been saying it for months. I'm so grateful we don't have it yet. But in perspective, right, as you look, even in hindsight, you know that there's still a chance that this could happen. Do you believe that, Jonathan?
I don't want to. But I'm not going to sit here and say that it's impossible. I'm not. I've had conversations with people that I know that are kind of in the same frame and mindset that you are. And it's just one of those things where we have to be aware and keep our head on a swivel of what's going on, because the tenor and the tone and the vitriol is very high and very vicious right now.
It is very vicious. I mean, people are getting death threats and all types of calls. And I remember, you know, maybe two or three or seven people would surround a house where someone lived that they wanted to get at. I mean, it's just been something we really need to pay attention to. Here's my concern, and this is why I have decided to open up this half hour just for you, because we want to hear from you at 651-989-9226. Again, that's 651-989-9226. Or you can give us a text to that number as well, 651-989-9226. Why? Because what happened at the Capitol is starting to take a back chair, right? It seems to be that we're not talking about it as much. We'll see on the news, you know, they come out, it's like all the news channels talk about the same thing, no matter where you turn it to, right? Maybe one or two differences in a couple of the stations, but most of them are talking about the same thing every day. And I'm starting to hear that they don't mention it as much. They may mention who's been arrested. Oh, now they've arrested that guy, and maybe they've arrested this woman, and maybe they've arrested this person. But to really talk about what this means to us and how devastating it could be to our democracy, you don't hear as much about that anymore. That is a challenge for me. That's what bothers me, because if we keep it at the forefront, if we keep talking about it, we keep reminding people this should never have been an option. How in the world do we get to the point where guillotines are not just one? I saw two, right? Guillotines are just waiting to hang people. They were screaming they wanted to hang and kill Pence. What about the times where we saw in the pictures and the video, and they don't show this much anymore? But we used to see the pipe bombs lying right by the base of the Capitol. And these were not just fake bombs. Nobody was playing around. This was serious business. Serious business. So here we are at this quiet point in our lives. Our neighborhoods, we don't have bombs falling now. We're just getting back to that peaceful place as much as we can. But I don't know about you. Some of us are still worried. Some of us are still nervous. Some of us are still scared, fearful of what's around the corner. So what I suggest to those that are listening that maybe does not want to know more is to really just settle yourself and start talking about it. And our first caller is Tom from St. Paul. Hey, Tom.
Just a couple comments. What you were just speaking about with the actions at the Capitol, what was going to happen or what was threatened to happen, what actually happened, I feel should give us an idea of what's to come. And we all know that not much at all happened, especially in St. Paul. So just there's some food for thought. The second thing is I am glad that President Trump is gone. I feel that towards the end there was obviously something happening with him, even though I do feel that he did some good things.
Okay.
What I do have a problem with, though, is he is gone. And our politicians keep talking about the public being divided. I feel that all of the effort, work, and expense and emotion that the public is going to go through, going through another impeachment trial, to me, is a waste of time. To me, it's kind of like, he's gone, let's cut our losses. I would really like to hear somebody tell me how much money, how much taxpayer money is that trial and all the associated things that happen and how much they cost. What is that going to cost me as a taxpayer? Rather than just say, good riddance, let's move on, because going through that impeachment trial is further going to divide this country. Good or bad, it's going to continue to divide everybody.
Okay, so Tom, I want to know then, how did you feel about those 4 years with Trump when we had all kind of financial problems? We know that the rollout of the vaccine and what we could do about COVID was really lacking. And there's so much more that we had to worry about. Even when it comes to our democracy, of course, the norms and mores of our democracy have been challenged to the hilt. So as you talk about what it's going to cost for the impeachment, the next impeachment, I get it. I understand your concern. But did you also have those concerns when money was spent and wasted during those 4 years?
Well, yes, but I have to say that I see in the last 4 years, and I have to be honest, and I have to say, this isn't just Trump. This is our Congress. This is people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that have got these great big huge spoons stirring the pot. They're not the only ones, but they're the ones that you hear about.
I won't let you say that. I won't let you say that, Tom. I'm so sorry that I'm going to have to let you go, because that is not true. It's not true. And this is what I'm tired of. Some people call it hyperbole. Some people call it all sorts of things. But these are lies. It is not true that they were the ones stirring the pot. The pot was stirred by the Republicans. And it's hard for us to say that. It's hard for any of us to say that. I know how it feels. If you're a Republican, I know you're sitting there going, it's not us, but it is. The facts are the facts. Now, did Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer get in there and try to change things? Absolutely. That's their job. But to say that they were the ones stirring the pot, I cannot let you get away with that. But thanks for calling in. Let's go over to Tony to see if he wants to join us. Tony, where are you calling from? Are you there?
Yeah, okay. Let me read you the college dictionary of what insurrection is. It says an act or an instance, open revolt against civil authority or a constitutional government. So, you know, ma'am, for every time that they did that, you're talking about, I watched it on TV. I watched 4 nights of that rioting in Minneapolis. Molotov cocktails. They didn't have time to go back to the newsroom and edit it. I seen the Molotov cocktails.
Are you talking about the peaceful protest?
the peaceful protests where they burn buildings down. Yeah, the ones you're talking about.
But you and I both know, sir, we both know, Tony, that the people who burned those buildings down were not from Minnesota at all. They came in town.
It doesn't matter,
ma'am. We were warned about it. Yes, yes, it does matter. It really does matter. It was not the people.
It was citizens of the United States. Okay, and then I heard his whole speech. You know, he didn't have a clenched fist up there like, oh, when the blacks had their, they're running around with a clenched fist. You know, Mahatma Gandhi and all them guys, they use the open hand, the peace sign. They're the ones that are instilling violence and are stirred by the media and people like you.
It is not true, Tony.
I know what it's like to take over a government.
I'm part Native American as well, yeah, and well, I tell you that is not. Well, you and I will agree to disagree, Tony. Thank you for taking the time to call in. I appreciate it. We got to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. It is now 7:56 here at WCCO. We only have about a minute or two, and thank you so much for those that called in and text in as well. And, Jonathan, we got a text that corrected me, and I'm so glad he did. Tell me about it.
Yes, the listener said that you were talking about gallows. It wasn't a guillotine.
That's
it was
right.
Gallows. So, they, you know, you hang someone from the gallows. It wasn't something coming to chop somebody's heads off. And someone just texted in and said, you are a saint to stay so calm with so much negativity headed your way with the callers this evening.
Well, that's the one thing I really hope that we all can learn from this, and I keep reminding myself of it. The more that we are angry and fearful and we scream at each other, nobody's going to hear us. We're not going to listen to each other. But if we can just drop our voices and talk to people as they are people, they are just like us, human beings, whether we agree or disagree. I feel as though we don't have to scream. So there you go. Thank you so much for correcting the whole gallows versus guillotines. You are right. One takes a lot longer to die, and the other one is real quick. Real quick. Well, all right then. Thank you so much for calling in, and I really appreciate it. This show is for you. It's called Steele Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And don't forget, you are always welcome. Coming up next, Dr. Charles Crutchfield, a black dermatologist and as well as a University of Minnesota professor. And we're going to talk about why black people don't want to take this vaccination. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.